The Tragedy of Hamlet by William Shakespeare. Act 5, Scene 1. A churchyard. Enter two clowns with spades and so forth.
Is she to be buried in Christian burial that willfully seeks her own salvation?
I tell you she is, and therefore make her grave straight. The crowner hath sat on her and finds it Christian burial.
How can that be unless she drowned herself in her own defence?
Why, it is found so.
It must be say offendendo. It cannot be else. For here lies the point. If I drown myself wittingly, it argues an act. And an act hath three branches. It is to act, to do, to perform. Argel, she drowned herself wittingly.
Nay, but hear you, goodman, delver. Give me leave. Here lies the water. Good. Here stands the man. Good. If the man go to this water and drown himself, it is... Will he, nil he goes. Mark you that. But if the water comes to him and drown him, he drowns not himself. Argel, he that is not guilty of his own death, shortens not his own life.
But is this law?
Aye, Mary, is it Crowner's Quest law?
Well, you have the truth of it. If this had not been a gentlewoman, she should have been buried out of Christian burial.
Why, there thou sayest, and the more pity that great folk should have countenance in this world to drown or hang themselves more than they're even Christian. Come, my spade. There is no ancient gentleman, but gardeners, ditchers, and grave makers. They hold up Adam's profession.
Was he a gentleman?
He was the first that ever bore arms.
Why, he had none.
What, art a heathen? How dost thou understand the scripture? The scripture says, Adam digged. Could he dig without arms?
I'll put another question to thee. If thou answerest me not to the purpose, confess thyself.
Go to.
What is he that builds stronger than either the mason, the shipwright, or the carpenter?
The gallows maker, for that frame outlives 1,000 tenants.
I like thy wit well, in good faith. The gallows does well, but how does it well?
It does well to those that do in. Now, thou dost ill to say the gallows is built stronger than the church. Argal, the gallows may do well to thee.
To it again, come.
Who builds stronger than a mason, a shipwright, or a carpenter?
Aye. Tell me that and unyoke.
Marry, now I can tell.
To it?
Mass, I cannot tell.
Enter Hamlet and Horatio at a distance.
Cudgel thy brains no more about it, for your dull ass will not mend his pace with beating, and when you are asked this question next, say, a grave-maker. The houses that he makes last till doomsday. Go, get thee to Johann. Fetch me a stoup of liquor.
The second clown exits. He digs and sings.
In youth, when I did love, methought it was very sweet, to contract with a time for all my behove, or methought there was nothing meet.
Has this fellow no feeling of his business that he sings at grave-making?
Custom hath made it in him a property of easiness. 'Tis e'en so the hand of little employment hath the daintier sense.
The first clown continues to sing, but age with his stealing steps hath clawed me in his clutch, and hath shipped me in till the land, as if I had never been such.
His digging throws up a skull.
That skull had a tongue in it, and could sing once. How the knave jowls it to the ground, as if it were Cain's jawbone that did the first murder. It might be the pate of a politician, which this ass now o'erreaches, one that would circumvent God, might it not?
It might, my lord.
Or of a courtier, which could say good morrow, sweet lord. How dost thou, good lord? This might be my lord, such a one, that praised my lord such a one's horse when he meant to beg it, might it not?
Aye, my lord.
Why, e'en so. And now my lady worms chapless and knocked about the mazard with a sexton spade. Here's fine revolution, and we had the trick to see it. Did these bones cost no more the breeding but to play at loggets with them? Mine ache to think on it.
The first clown continues to sing.
A pickaxe and a spade for and a shrouding sheet. Oh, a pit of clay for to be made for such a guest is meet.
As he digs, he throws up another skull.
There's another. Why, may not that be the skull of a lawyer? Where be his quiddities now, his quillets, his cases, his tenures and his tricks? Why does he suffer this rude knave now to knock him about the sconce with a dirty shovel, and will not tell him of his action of battery? This fellow might be, in his time, a great buyer of land with his statutes, his recognizances, his fines, his double vouchers, his recoveries. Is this the fine of his fines, and the recovery of his recoveries, to have his fine pate full of fine dirt? Will his vouchers vouch him, no more of his purchases, and double ones, too, than the length and breadth of a pair of indentures? The very conveyances of his lands will hardly lie in this box, and must the inheritor himself have no more, huh?
Not a jot more, my lord. Is not parchment made of sheep skins?
Aye, my lord, and of calf skins, too.
They are sheep and calves which seek out assurance in that. I will speak to this fellow. Whose grave's this, sir?
Mine, sir. And he sings. Oh, a pit of clay for to be made, for such a guest is meet.
I think it be thine indeed, for thou liest in it.
You lie out on it, sir, and therefore it is not yours. For my part, I do not lie in it, and yet it is mine.
Thou dost lie in it, to be in it and say it is thine. 'Tis for the dead, and not for the quick. Therefore thou liest.
'Tis a quick lie, sir. 'Twill away gain from me to you.
What man dost thou dig it for?
For no man, sir.
What woman, then?
For none neither.
Who is to be buried in it?
One that was a woman, sir, but, rest her soul, she's dead.
How absolute the knave is! We must speak by the card, or equivocation will undo us. By the Lord Horatio, these 3 years I have taken a note of it. The age is grown so picked that the toe of the peasant comes so near the heel of the courtier, he gaffs his keeb. How long hast thou been a gravemaker?
Of all the days of the year, I came to it that day that our last King Hamlet overcame Fortinbras.
How long is that since?
Cannot you tell that? Every fool can tell that. It was the very day that young Hamlet was born, he that is mad and sent into England.
Aye, marry. Why was he sent into England?
Why, because he was mad. He shall recover his wits there, or, if he do not, it's no great matter there.
Why?
'Twill not be seen in him there. There the men are as mad as he.
How came he mad?
Very strangely, they say.
How strangely?
Faith, e'en with losing his wits.
Upon what ground?
Why, here in Denmark. I have been sexton here, man and boy, 30 years.
How long will a man lie of the earth ere he rot?
Faith, if he be not rotten before he die, as we have many pocky corpses now a day that will scarce hold the lane in, he will last you some 8 year or 9 year.
A tanner will last you 9 year.
Why, he more than another?
Why, sir, his hide is so tanned with his trade that he will keep out water a great while, and your water is a sore decayer of your whore son dead body.
Here's a skull now. This skull has lain in the earth 23 years.
Whose was it?
A whore son mad fellow it was. Whose do you think it was?
Nay, I know not.
A pestilence on him for a mad rogue, a poured a flag and a rhenish on my head once. This same skull, sir, was Yorick's skull, the king's jester.
This?
In that.
Let me see.
Hamlet takes the skull from the gravedigger.
Alas! Poor Yorick. I knew him, Horatio. A fellow of infinite jest, of most excellent fancy. He hath borne me on his back 1,000 times, and now, how abhorred in my imagination it is! My gorge rims at it. Here hung those lips that I have kissed. I know now how oft.
Where be your jibes now, your gambols, your songs, your flashes of merriment that were wont to set the table on a roar?
Not one now to mock your own grinning?
Quite chapfallen? Now get you to my lady's chamber and tell her, let her paint 1 inch thick to this favour she must come. Make her laugh at that, prithee.
Horatio, tell me one thing.
What's that, my lord?
Dost thou think Alexander looked to this fashion i' the earth?
E'en so.
And smelt so?
Pah!
Hamlet puts down the skull.
E'en so, my lord. To what base uses we may return, Horatio?
Why, may not imagination trace the noble dust of Alexander till he finds it stopping a bunghole?
'Twere to consider too curiously to consider so.
No.
Faith, not a jot. but to follow him thither with modesty enough and likelihood to lead it, as thus. Alexander died. Alexander was buried. Alexander returneth into dust. The dust is earth. Of earth we make loam. And why of that loam whereto he was converted, might they not stop a beer barrel? Imperious Caesar, dead and turned to clay, might stop a hole to keep the wind away. Oh, that that earth which kept the world in awe should patch a wall to expel the winter flaw. But soft aside, here comes the king.
Enter a priest, and so forth in procession. The corpse of Ophelia, Laertes, and mourners following. King Claudius, Queen Gertrude, their trains, and so forth.
The queen, the courtiers. Who is this they follow? And with such maimed rites? This doth betoken the course they follow did with desperate hand fordo its own life. 'Twas of some estate. Couch we a while and mark.
He retires with Horatio.
Laertes speaks.
What ceremony else?
That is Laertes. A very noble youth, mark.
What ceremony else?
Her obsequies have been as far enlarged as we have warranties. Her death was doubtful. And but that great command, all's ways, the order, she should in ground unsanctified have lodged, till the last trumpet for charitable prayers, shards, flints, and pebbles should be thrown on her. Yet here she is, allowed her virgin crance, her maiden struments, and the bringing home of bell and burial.
Must there no more be done?
No more be done. We should profane the service of the dead to sing a requiem, and such rest to her as to peace-parted souls.
Lay her in the earth, and from her fair and unpolluted flesh may violets spring. I tell thee, churlish priest, a ministering angel shall my sister be when thou liest howling.
What? The fair Ophelia?
Sweets to the sweet. Farewell.
Queen Gertrude scatters flowers.
I hoped thou shouldst have been my Hamlet's wife. I thought thy bridebed to have decked, sweet maid, and not have strewed thy grave.
Oh, treble woe! Fall 10 times treble on that cursed head, whose wicked deed thy most ingenious sense deprived thee of. Hold off the earth a while, till I have caught her once more in mine arms.
Laertes leaps into the grave.
Now pile your dust upon the quick and dead, till of this flat a mountain you have made, to o'ertop old Pelion or the skyish head of blue Olympus.
Hamlet, advancing.
What is he whose grief bears such an emphasis, whose phrase of sorrow conjures the wandering stars and makes them stand like wonder-wounded hearers? This is I, Hamlet the Dane.
He leaps into the grave.
The devil take my soul!
Laertes and Hamlet grapple.
Thou playest not well. I prithee, take thy fingers from my throat. For though I am not splenitive and rash, yet have I something in me dangerous, which let thy wiseness fear. Hold off thy hand.
Pluck them asunder.
Hamlet, Hamlet.
All speak.
Gentlemen.
Good my lord, be quiet. The attendants part them, and they come out of the grave.
Why, I will fight with him upon this theme until my eyelids will no longer wag.
Oh, my son, what theme?
I loved Ophelia. 40,000 brothers could not, with all their quantity of love, make up my sum. What wilt thou do for her?
Oh, he is mad, Laertes. For love of God, forbear him. Swans, show me what thou wilt do. Wilt weep? Wilt fight? Wilt fast? Wilt tear thyself? Wilt drink up easel, eat a crocodile? I'll do it. Dost thou come here to whine, to outface me with leaping in her grave? Be buried quick with her, and so will I. And if thou prate of mountains, let them throw millions of acres on us till our ground, singeing his pate against the burning zone, make osa like a wart. Nay, and thou'lt mouth, I'll rant as well as thou.
This is mere madness. And thus a while the fit will work on him, anon as patient as the female dove, when that her golden couplets are disclosed, his silence will sit drooping.
Hear you, sir. What is the reason that you use me thus? I loved you ever, but it is no matter. Let Hercules himself do what he may. The cat will mew, and dog will have his day.
Hamlet exits.
I pray you, good Horatio, wait upon him.
Horatio exits. The king speaks to Laertes.
Strengthen your patience in our last night's speech.
We'll put the matter to the present push. Good Gertrude, set some watch over your son. This grave shall have a living monument. An hour of quiet shortly shall we see, till then in patience our proceeding be.
All exit. The end of Act 5, Scene 1 of The Tragedy of Hamlet by William Shakespeare. Read by Rick Kistner. For Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.